The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This episode is brought to you by my friend Rebecca Walzer, a financial expert who can help you protect your wealth. Book your free call with her team by going to friendofdinesh.com. That's friendofdinesh.com. Coming up today, I'm going to explain why Trump routinely dominates these straw polls like the recent one at CPAC. It has to do with something called animal magnetism. Ron DeSantis just suspended a Tampa DA, a George Soros DA. This is a blueprint for how Republican governors can hit back at the Soros Project. A January 6th parent, Rosemary Westbury, joins me. She's going to tell us in gruesome detail what happened when the FBI paid her family a visit. And I'm going to continue my discussion of Homer's Iliad. This is the Dinesh D'Souza Show.
Needs this voice. The times are crazy. In a time of confusion, division, and lies, we need a brave voice of reason, understanding, and truth. This is the Dinesh D'Souza Podcast.
At the recent CPAC conference in Dallas, which concluded this weekend, there was a straw poll. And the results of the straw poll reported pretty widely in the media. Trump 69%. This is for 2024. DeSantis 23%. And pretty tellingly, Cruz 2%, Pompeo, Nikki Haley, Rand Paul, Kristi Noem all 1%. And by the way, notice who's not there. Mike Pence 0%. Wow. Now, I want to try to explain the Trump phenomenon here because there are some people who say, and I've been seeing this on social media, that DeSantis is much more kind of error-free than Trump. DeSantis doesn't make Trump's mistakes. He is very effective, as Trump is, in hitting back at the media. They both have that kind of fortitude. But DeSantis is less ad hominem. DeSantis is in some ways, certainly in terms of his personal life, he seems unbelievably clean-cut. He's got the sort of perfect resume. So why is it? Why is it then that Trump is consistently not just ahead, but way ahead? I mean, Trump is over two-thirds of the vote, and DeSantis's numbers only improve if you take Trump out of the equation. So what's going on here? Well, I want to try to explain this in an unusual way. The writer Scott Fitzgerald, this is the author, of course, of The Great Gatsby and a number of other important books. Scott Fitzgerald once said something very poignant and I think very illuminating. He said, I've got the two second best things to have, but I don't have the two best things to have. And he went on to explain that the second best things to have, in his view, were good looks and intelligence. And Scott Fitzgerald goes, I got those two. But he goes, but the two best things to have are animal magnetism and money. And I don't have those. And Fitzgerald here, I think, was referring specifically to Hemingway because Fitzgerald noticed that Hemingway had this animal magnetism. Hemingway could go to Spain, not even know the language, and there he is, you know, and drinking with his buddies, and they're all watching the bullfight, and Hemingway's a great guy. If something contagious or infectious about Hemingway, wherever he went, and Fitzgerald kind of envied that. What has Hemingway got that I don't have? And I want to apply this kind of principle a little bit to politics, because I think if we think about somebody like Nixon. Now, Nixon did not have good looks. I think it's fair to say he did have a lot of intelligence. Animal magnetism, zero. And not a lot of money. So part of the sort of astonishment of Nixon was that he was able to get so far, in a sense, while having so little. JFK, good looks, yes. Intelligence, a fair amount. Animal magnetism? Yes, a fair amount. Money, a lot. So you can see JFK's path in that sense was very smooth. Look at Reagan. Good looks? Yes. Intelligence? Yes. Animal magnetism? Yes. And money, a fair amount. Obviously not as much as, say, Trump, but obviously a successful Hollywood career. Bill Clinton, good looks, yes. Although Debbie's like, Dinesh, are you serious? I don't see what's good looking about Bill Clinton. But obviously many people did think so. Intelligence, yes. Animal magnetism, yes. Money, not really. The Clintons made their money basically through crookery later, and that doesn't really count because if you get your money through theft and stealing, it's hardly a measure of what you've accomplished. Hillary Clinton, looks? Well, no. In fairness, when Hillary was in the White House, they must have brought in beauticians and hairdressers and maybe some who knows what, but they were able to make her look pretty good. So her looks improved in the time she was in the White House, but then they degenerated afterwards to what they were before. Intelligence, yes. Animal magnetism, no. And money, no. Let's turn to Gavin Newsom, mentioned as a presidential contender. Looks, yes. Intelligence, not really. Animal magnetism, no. Key point. And I think a big liability. And money, yes. Kamala Harris, this is really kind of a joke. Looks, no. Intelligence, no. Animal magnetism, no. Money, no. You may ask, what's she doing in politics? Good question. But coming back now to Trump and DeSantis, with DeSantis, looks, yes. Intelligence, yes. Money, no. Animal magnetism, no. So using the Fitzgeraldian calculus, this is what is holding DeSantis back. He doesn't have that kind of factor that automatically makes him a star, that turns heads in a room. But now look at Trump. Good looks. Well, even though Trump is now well into his 70s, I would say yes. Intelligence, yes. Animal magnetism, yes, in spades. And in fact, the good looks very often for someone at Trump's age are the animal magnetism, and then finally money a lot. So you can kind of see here why Trump dominates. And I think Debbie made the point as we were chatting about this, the additional point that with Trump, not only does he have the money, but he has the kind of working class style so that he's not withdrawn from the community. Ordinary people can look at Trump and go, man, you know what? He's the kind of billionaire I would aspire to be. He relates to people on a kind of even basis. And so I think this is the secret of Trump's success. Recently, I told you that Walmart is the latest retailer to cancel MyPillow. Walmart, they'll no longer be selling Mike's products at their stores. This is outrageous. When are they going to stop letting the left bully them into submission? We got to support Mike. Fortunately, he always fires back. He's always coming out with new products. I'm excited to announce the MyPillow sandal. Summer's here. You need some waterproof sandals to go to the beach, the pool, wherever. These sandals aren't just practical. They're also super comfortable. Debbie and I love ours. We're excited to take them to the beach next weekend. We're going to do a little getaway. Now, the regular price of these sandals is $79.98, but they're discounted. And even more, they're down to the low price of $29.98 with promo code Dinesh. Wow. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-876-0227. The number is 800-876-0227. Or again, go to MyPillow.com. Don't forget to use promo code D-I-N-E-S-H Dinesh. Thanks to an abject surrender by both Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema, I guess we should have known this was coming. They remain anchored in the Democratic Party. I've had some hopeful queries to the contrary, but clearly Manchin, deep in his heart, is a Democrat. And he has used his influence as a Sinema to produce some maybe slight scalebacks and moderation and certainly delays in the Democratic effort to throw money into the economy. And what makes the whole thing, I think, so repulsive is the attempt to now do that, which is bad enough, but then to label it the, quote, Inflation Reduction Act. I mean, this is taking chutzpah to an embarrassing level here, because just think about it. What is inflation? Inflation is too much money chasing the same number of goods. If you expand the amount of money that is hurled into the economy and the amount of goods in the economy remains the same, you're going to get more inflation. So, true, the Biden people are saying we're going to save money here, we're going to save money there. That often becomes, a kind of prediction which may or may not come to pass. What you do know for sure is you're going to spend money and you're going to put that money into the economy, and this is going to have, you don't need to be a kind of a genius to see an inflationary effect. Now, the other thing is that there is a massive expansion of the IRS. What? The IRS is the one agency that is getting a huge infusion of cash. In fact, the budget for the IRS is being increased by 600%, six times. And that means tons of more IRS agents, 77,000 of them. Now, while this is sometimes portrayed as, well, you know, we're going after the rich, there frankly aren't that many rich people to go after. I mean, an IRS, you can assign an IRS agent to every billionaire and you'll be done in no time. There are 450, 500, maybe 700 billionaires in the United States. Okay, that's 700 IRS agents. What are the other IRS agents for? Turns out that they want to do scrutiny of all, middle-class people, upper-middle-class people. So this is the collection agency of the Democratic Party. Notice, for example, that they're not increasing the number of agents on the border. No, in fact, they're reducing those agents. They're demoralizing them. They're chasing them away. And so what's happening is that the Democrats realize that the way for them to fund their welfare state is to unleash the IRS on the American people. So this is a prospect that doesn't fill you with excitement and anticipation. Oh, yeah, I'd love to have IRS people coming through my door, going through my small business, finding ways. Because think about it. If you unleash the government on the ordinary American citizen, you're going to find ways to. First of all, you're going to intimidate and terrorize them no matter what. And you're going to find ways to either shake them down or go after them. And that's really what the Democrats are all about. So if you don't like this, as I don't, we've got to do our best to get rid of the Democrats. Some of us wish we could rewind the clock when it comes to our health. Exercising, climbing stairs, all the things young people take for granted, these aren't things that have to stop just because you age. Neither do you have to endure the normal aging aches and pains. Now there's a 100% drug-free solution. It's called Relief Factor. Relief Factor supports your body's fight against inflammation. That's the source of aches and pains. The vast majority of people who try Relief Factor order more. Why? Because it works for them. Debbie's excited. She finally gets to do her bar exercise classes now that she's alleviated her frozen shoulder thanks to Relief Factor. Debbie's even able to do planks, push-ups. So she's like, this works. This is great. I never want to be without this again. You too can benefit. Try it for yourself. Order the 3-week quick start for the discounted price of just $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 833-690-7246 to find out more. That number again, 833-690-7246, or go to relieffactor.com. You'll feel the difference. Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida continues to show other governors and us how it's done. His latest move? To suspend the Tampa state attorney, the DA of Tampa, who's, by the way, a left-winger. He's a Soros guy. But this guy joined with a bunch of other attorneys and prosecutors, basically saying that despite the Supreme Court's decision in the Dobbs case, that states are now free to make laws about abortion. And Florida has a law. By the way, Florida's law is hardly extreme. I believe it restricts abortion after 20 weeks. But nevertheless, it's far too much for this prosecutor, a guy named Andrew Warren, and he essentially signed a statement that says he's not going to enforce it in Tampa. And similarly, Florida has a transgender law, which is described by DeSantis really very bluntly. DeSantis goes, they use these euphemisms, but what they're literally doing is chopping off the private parts of young kids, and that's wrong. Boom. Talk about putting things bluntly. But anyway, Florida has a law that limits transgender surgery. You can't just go about doing this. And this guy, Andrew Warren, goes, I won't enforce that law either. So DeSantis looked at the Florida state constitution, where it says in Article 4, Section 7, the governor may suspend from office any county officer for malfeasance, misfeasance, neglect of duty, drunkenness, incompetence, etc. And DeSantis goes, listen, you, state attorney, don't have the right to make laws in Florida. The legislature makes laws. You are not given any kind of veto power over these laws. Your job is to enforce them. And so, quote, when you flagrantly violate your oath of office, when you make yourself above the law, notice these phrases where DeSantis is spelling out his cause of action. He's violating his oath of office, this guy Warren is. He's putting himself above the law. You have violated your duty. You have neglected your duty, and you are displaying a lack of competence to be able to perform those duties. So you can almost see DeSantis here mirroring the language of the Florida Constitution. Why? Because he knows that this guy Warren is going to sue over this. He's going to take it to court. He's going to go, I didn't do anything wrong. And DeSantis is going to say, well, when states pass laws and the state attorney decides, well, you know what? I'm not going to enforce them because I don't like them. Or even because my constituents don't like him. It doesn't matter if the constituents of Tampa don't like them, because the truth of it is, it's a statewide law. It applies throughout the state of Florida. And so, not to enforce the law is a form of neglect of duty, and it's also a form of, in DeSantis's word, incompetence. And this is a fantastic way to strike out at the Soros prosecutors. Because if you think about it, you've got a lot of Soros prosecutors in liberal areas, in blue areas inside of red states. And so here in Texas, for example, there's got to be a way to take these runaway Soros prosecutors in places like Austin, like Houston, and bring them to heel. DeSantis is showing how it's done. If these guys decide to go outside the law, suspend them, get rid of them, and let them sue. The whole point here is to establish the superiority of the legislature, which after all is the body in charge of making these laws. One final point about DeSantis is that he was very effective about the way he did this. He didn't just show up and go, it's the governor against the DA. No, what he did was he stood there at a press conference and he's surrounded by other law enforcement officials. He's surrounded by a kind of almost a team. There was Hillsborough Sheriff Chad Cronister, Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd, Pasco County Sheriff Chris Noko, Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody, former Tampa Chief of Police Brian Dugan, Representative Mike Beltran. So all these guys are there basically saying that, yes, we represent collectively the law enforcement community. What we have is a rogue DA. This guy is out on his own. He thinks that because he's a leftist, because Soros gave him the money or put up money for him to get elected, he's answering, in effect, to Soros. Well, he can't answer to Soros. His job is to answer to the legislature. And if he doesn't do it, he deserves not only to be suspended, he deserves to get the boot. Inflation is real. The consumer price index is at another 40-year high. Biden and his team keep denying it, but inflation doesn't go away because you deny or minimize it. The recession also is real. Again, they're denying it. Again, a recession doesn't stop being a recession if you stop calling it a recession. Now, if all your money is in the market or tied to the U.S. dollar, that's a big risk. You're kind of messing with fire. Thankfully, I'm diversified into gold with Birch Gold, and it's not too late for you to take action too. Text Dinesh to 989898. Get a free information kit on how you can diversify and protect your savings with precious metals. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless five-star reviews, thousands of satisfied customers, Birch Gold is the place to be. Debbie and I trust Birch Gold, which is why we're happy customers. Join us and secure your future with gold from Birch Gold. How do you do that? Text Dinesh to 989898. Get real help from Birch Gold today. You can get your free no-obligation information kit on how to protect your hard-earned savings with gold. Guys, as you know, I covered the subject of January 6th extensively on the podcast, and I like to bring on guests who have a direct first-hand experience, because you get to hear from them directly and you get to see the machinations of the FBI, of the prosecutors. So I'm very pleased to welcome today Rosemary Westbury. Now, her family has been turned upside down by all this, and I'd like you to hear from her, her firsthand account. Rosemary, thank you for joining me. I really appreciate it. I'm really sorry to hear what's happened to your family as a consequence of our own government. And I want you to describe the events in the aftermath. Let's not start with January 6th. We'll get to that. I want you to start with the first time the U.S. government, in the form of the FBI, came visiting your house.
Well, Dinesh, the first time actually that they came was in February of 2021, and they came specifically asking for my son, Jonah. There were five of us that had gone to January 6th, and my son, Jonah, was, we'd never been to Washington, D.C., so he was posting pretty much all day on his Snapchat. The events of the day, he was excited to see President Trump. And so one of his classmates had actually turned him into the FBI, his former classmates. And so when he, when we had that first interaction, of course, my son contacted an attorney. So we got an attorney, and a local attorney, and they reached out to the FBI. The FBI went silent, really, truly, what we call radio silent. And so my son rents an apartment in my home with a separate entrance. And the FBI knew that because they came to my house. So then let's fast forward to April 9th of 2021. The FBI came to my home at 6:30 in the morning. I was actually almost at work and got a call from one of my sons and said, "Mom, the cops are here." And I thought, "What? What do you mean the cops are there?" And in the background, I could hear, "FBI, open up." And well, they didn't wait for anybody to open up. They smashed down my front door. They came in with AR-15s, you know, pointing, went into each of the bedrooms, ransacked my house, essentially, and brought everybody outside. It was actually had snowed here in Minnesota the week before, so it was cold. Everybody went out in stocking feet, and they arrested Jonah and brought him down to be processed. Now, Jonah went before the magistrate, and he was released the same day. But my family was terrorized. The whole community was terrorized. I mean, can you imagine? We've got 25 or 30 FBI agents bombarding our home. And so our neighbors are looking and thinking, what in the world is happening? So I came back from work. I didn't go to work. I turned around and came back. And I actually talked with the FBI agents. I talked to them for a couple hours, to tell you the truth. And I, there's one in particular, his name is Neil. He professed to be a Christian, and we're believers. And so, you know, I looked at him and I said, you know, Neil, one of these fine days, you're going to have to make a decision. Are you going to submit to tyranny just for a paycheck? Or are you going to do what's right? I said, we're American citizens. We've done nothing wrong. And I said, you smashed my door in? It's like we're mass murderers. And, you know, they listened, didn't say anything, but he said something that was very telling to me. He said, if your son had not posted online, we wouldn't be here. And at that moment, I realized that it wasn't for justice sake, but it was punitive. And it was to make an example out of us, which they did. Now, that was the first one. Then, fast forward to October 4th. Well, a little bit before that, my son, Aaron, and I were going to Georgia, one of my first husband's sisters passed away, and unexpectedly. And so we were going to go to her funeral. Well, we get to the airport, and I realized something was a little bit off because I couldn't print my tickets out. Usually I do the, you know, pre-trip or whatever. It took us 45 minutes to an hour to get our tickets. Well, on our tickets, there were the word or the letters SSSS. And I didn't know what that was. So we went through the line up to the front to go through TSA. When we got up to TSA, these red lights go off and we're bombarded by TSA agents. And the two of us were taken off to the side, and they searched through all of our luggage. We went through a full body pat. They went through our luggage to see if we had any residue, I guess, or something. Well, we missed our flight. And so we weren't able to get another flight. They didn't have another one. So we missed that funeral. But I realized this was in September, the end of September. And I thought, all right, so we're on some sort of list, whatever the list that is. And then Monday, October 4th.
Actually, take a pause, Rosemary. Let's pause here just because I want to take a short break. When we come back, we'll pick it right up with what happened in the aftermath of that flight. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Are you watching your retirement slip through your hands every day? Are you worried about a black swan market event that could be coming? This is an event that comes out of nowhere and basically decimates your accumulated savings. That's not all. Interest rates going up, inflation skyrocketing. Well, how can we protect our money? How can you get ahead of what's happening with the economy? This is not a time to wing it or go with a hunch. You need a qualified expert on your side. Well, I'm not that expert, but my friend Rebecca Walser is. She's a tax attorney and wealth strategist with her MBA from the London School of Economics. Rebecca and her team will help to prepare you and your money for the turbulent times ahead. We all work hard for our money. We can use some really good guidance to help us build on what we have. Go to friendofdinesh.com, book your complimentary introductory call today to see if you qualify. That's friendofdinesh.com. Let Rebecca Walser's team of experts protect your wealth during these unprecedented times. I'm back with Rosemary Westbury. We're talking about her family's ordeal and the aftermath of January 6th. Rosemary, where you left off, pick it right up with what happened next.
Okay, so on October 4th, 6 o'clock in the morning, and again, I was not here. I left early for work that day, which typically I leave about 6:15, but I left about 5:45 that day. I can't remember why. But this time they came with a SWAT team. They came with an armored vehicle with a battering ram on the front of it. They came with bull horns, and the whole neighborhood was woken up. The whole neighborhood. Well, now our neighbors know us. So by this time when they came, now they came with, again, they had AR-15s pointed at everybody's chest. They called everybody, you know, outside in their stocking feet and their pajamas. And they were arrested, my husband and my son Aaron James and my son Isaac Westbury were arrested. They intimidated my neighbors. You know, my neighbors were coming outside to see what was going on. Oh, this is the second time. They know us very well. And so my neighbors weren't so intimidated this time. In fact, they were very upset. So, you know, they, a floodlight was turned on my neighbor who leaves to go to work. And, you know, they're yelling at him, get back inside, get back in your house. Now, my neighbor said something. He looked at this guy and he said, no, I'm going to work. I have to feed my family. And he looked at these guys. He said, you ought to be ashamed of yourselves. You wouldn't come with this kind of manpower for a mass murderer. And he said, you're going to come in to a family that has done nothing wrong. With this kind of manpower, he said, you ought to be ashamed of yourselves. This isn't the government. that we know. This isn't the republic that we belong to. And this is tyranny. I mean, Dinesh, this is pure tyranny. So they were also released the same day.
Rosemary, let's talk about, you know, the you have Robert and Jonah, who apparently are facing the usual, to me, just absolutely stupid charges, parading in the Capitol building, which I guess means walking around, quote, entering a restricted building, a redescription of what I just said, and disorderly conduct, which means nothing other than you're not supposed to be there. So it's the same thing described three different ways. Aaron and Isaac evidently are accused of resisting the cops or resisting certain officers. Talk a little bit about the actual events of January 5th and what it is that they are calling, you know, because there are a couple of charges here which do involve violence. I want to hear what was the violence that they are alleging. What actually happened?
So my son, Aaron, he was a corpsman in the United States Navy. So he was attached to a Marine unit. And so it's ingrained in his head that when you see someone that is in need, you know, medically, that he's geared towards helping. That's what he's geared towards. So they were in the area where Roseanne Boylan was murdered. And I'm just going to call it that. She was murdered. There were four people that were murdered that day. Roseanne Boylan was one of them. And so my son, Aaron, and my son, Isaac, were in the crowd. They weren't even close, but they saw. Now, they thought Roseanne was a man just because of the way she was dressed. But they saw what happened. They saw her getting beaten. And so when the individuals that were there tried to, they were doing CPR. He could see that it was not effective. So he told Aaron, Isaac, he said, you know, we've got to help. We've got to get over there to help. So they made their way to the front. And I have a video actually where you can hear, medic, we need a medic. You can hear it very clearly in this video. And so they went up to the front and they, at this point, the police officers were being violent. I mean, incredibly violent. They were spraying this yellow caustic, I don't even know what it is, spray into the crowd. And it was blinding people. And it was, you know, making it so they couldn't breathe. So my son, this is what they're saying is violent, okay? They picked up off of the ground shields to protect themselves from being sprayed while they were going to try to make it over to Roseanne. And then when they realized they couldn't make it over, they were holding them so that the people that were working on her wouldn't get sprayed. And so that's what they're calling violent. There was no violence, no violence. But, you know, there is something called intent. And the intent of my sons was to render aid to an individual. And that has to be made very clear. There was never any violence. They never harmed anyone. They never did anything. In fact, there is another video out there. It's on Steven Crowder. He had a video early on in the spring of 2021 where you can actually see my family. And they're protecting a police officer that had fallen on the ground. And you can see my son, Aaron, helping her up. You know, my husband was kind of keeping the crowd back because they were pushing. But they were protecting her and helped her up. And he, you know, my son evidently said to her, I don't know this, you know, I wasn't there. But from what his account is, he told her, look, we're not here to harm anyone. That's not our purpose here. And he said, here, go back into the line or whatever it was. So the events that happened with Roseanne Boylan is what they're saying were violent. And in fact, they are now trying to, The government put in a motion to withdraw Aaron's release. They want him in the gulag. They want him in prison.
Let's pause for a moment, Rosemary. I want to do one more segment with you. So we'll come right back and pick it right up. You've noticed it's pretty colorful in the grocery store at the produce section. All those vibrant colors are fruits and veggies. Well, our friend Dr. Douglas Howard at Balance of Nature explains that all those colors you see represent nutritional variety. Now, I don't eat anywhere near the 10 daily servings of fruits and veggies I need. So Balance of Nature, that's the way I ensure I give my body what it needs to stay healthy. Debbie and I take these 6 little fruits and veggie capsules every day. Each daily dose is made up of a blend of 31 different fruits and veggies. 31. So variety equals vitality. Give your body everything it needs with Balance of Nature. Invest in your health. Join me and experience the Balance of Nature difference for years to come. For a limited time, all new preferred customers get an additional 35% discount and free shipping on your first Balance of Nature order. Use discount code America. Call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code America. I'm back with Rosemary Westbury. She's talking about the aftermath of January 6th, the impact on her family. Where does the Rosemary, does the thing stand now? I think you were starting to say something about the fact that they are trying to get your son into the D.C. gulag. What's happening with the case now, and how do you see it going forward?
So the government has put in a motion to revoke the release of my son, Aaron James. And, you know, what they're saying is that he violated his terms of release, which it's nonsense. If you look at what, you know, they're saying that he had a weapon, which was not true. He had cutlery from the Civil War. My son has a strong heritage. His great-grandfather was a slave in during the Civil War. His great-great-grandfather on my side was a Union soldier, so it's very strong. So he had cutlery with that they're saying are weapons. So that's what they want to have him locked up for.
Tell me about the is this a case where you think it is more prudent to do some sort of a plea bargain, or is it a case where you want to push to go to trial? Talk about that, because I know it's a difficult choice.
So when I would admonish anyone to not take a plea deal. When you take a plea deal, you're coming into an agreement. It's like a covenant agreement with the government, and you're saying that what they're saying is true and correct. And none of what they're saying is true and correct. Now, in Washington, D.C., we cannot get a fair trial, and it's been proven. Every single case that has tried to go to trial, the individuals have been found guilty on all charges. You couldn't find that anywhere but Washington, D.C. It's nonsense. And so there cannot be a fair trial, in my estimation, in Washington, D.C., with a jury. You can't find a jury of your peers there when you have 95 to 98% Democrats who have a very strong political view. And they're not guilty. They're not guilty.
But what do you do then, Rosemary? Because, I mean, is there a way to have the trial in Minnesota, or are you obliged by the fact that this all occurred in Washington, D.C., that you don't have a choice? How do you think about it as a mom and as a wife? I mean, it's obviously your family members whose future is at stake. How do you process this? How do you decide what to do?
So it's, you know, the thing that I have to look at, Dinesh, is first and foremost, my allegiance is to God, okay? And we cannot lie. And I would admonish my family, you cannot lie. And so where we get our strength, where we get our direction, if you will, is from God himself. What does Scripture tell us? And what Scripture tells us is, first and foremost, the battle belongs to the Lord. This battle that we're fighting, yes, we're here in the midst of it, but the battle belongs to the Lord. And it's not just for us, but it's for this nation, Dinesh. And so we find ourselves here in the midst of it. And I have to say this, that whatever happens, God is in control. And I put it in his hands. Now, we, our judge is Judge Contreras, who has been reasonable. I have to say he's been reasonable. And it would appear that he's taken his oath seriously. And for that, I'm grateful. Now, there is, and I'm going to read this very briefly, so please bear with me. God tells us something about justice, and I'm going to read three verses. Okay, this is in Deuteronomy 16, verses 18 through 20. This is what it says. You shall appoint judges and officers in all your towns that the Lord your God is giving you, according to your tribes, that you shall judge the people with righteous judgment. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality, and you shall not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and subverts the cause of the righteous. Justice and only justice you shall follow, that you may live and inherit the land that the Lord your God is giving you. We have seen a perversion of our wonderful justice system, and that has to change.
Let me ask you as we close, Rosemary, there is a coalition, an organization that's being set up. It's, the website is condemnedusa.org, condemnedusa.org. Yes. Talk a little bit about the website and talk a little bit about the organization. What does it stand for?
So the mission is to assist and support J6 defendants in their fight against the politically weaponized U.S. DOJ. And what we want to do is we want to create an affordable legal support by countering the narrative provided by the MSN and corrupt government entities. That's our goal. And so we are a coalition that's concerned for citizens of varying backgrounds. So we currently have a team. We've assembled a team unlike any traditional law firm. Every traditional law firm that I have seen, first of all, they want an exorbitant amount of money. Well, we don't have that. You know, the left has unlimited resources, and we don't have that. Part of me wishes that President Trump would step in. I realize that right now it's probably not wise for him to do that. But we need someone to back us in this. We're not out here to make a lot of money. But we have attorneys, we have volunteers, we have people that are doing research, you know, that will put together motions and at reasonable cost. So we are, that's our goal, is to make it so that it's reasonable for people.
All right.
And it's condemnedusa.org. And I'm very excited about it.
Terrific. Thank you so much, Rosemary, for being in touch. We will check out the website ourselves. We want to help. And so we'll take a look. Please send Debbie information about it so we can stay abreast of it. And thank you also for coming on the podcast and sharing your experience. I'm very sorry for what you've been through.
Dinesh, thank you so much. So right now we are just kind of getting up and running with the condemned.org, USA.org. There are GiveSendGo accounts that you can donate to. Brian Mock is one of them. If you'd like to donate to the Westburys, that's wonderful. But we are in our infancy, but we're getting up and running very quickly.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Rosemary. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on.
Imagine the lifelong impact of a journey to the Holy Land. Surrounded by like-minded travelers, picture yourself stepping foot in iconic locations right out of Scripture. Join Dr. Sebastian Gorka and Dinesh D'Souza on this life-enriching Israel tour, November 30th through December 9th, 2022. For more information, call 855-565-5519 or visit StandWithIsraelTour.com.
When the Greek warrior Patroclus, friend of Achilles, is killed at the hands of Hector, we have a fierce fight that breaks out over Patroclus's body. And we'll see now in the Iliad, not just with Patroclus, we'll see this also with Hector, the attempt to grab and desecrate the body. It doesn't work with Patroclus. There's a fierce fight. The gods are able to protect Patroclus's body, and the Greeks are able to get him back. With Hector, we'll see the opposite. Hector's body is, in fact, desecrated by Achilles. In fact, again and again. But the gods protect it. The gods protect Hector's body, prevent it from being, in a sense, shredded to pieces so that Hector, like Patroclus, is able to have a funeral. And these funerals in Homer are really something to behold. We'll get to that. I want to talk about a really touching and remarkable scene that Homer gives us when Patroclus is dying and then dies. Homer tells us that the immortal horses of Achilles, remember Patroclus took Achilles' chariot, he took his armor, he took his horses. And Achilles has three horses pulling his chariot, not pulling Patroclus' chariot, and two of those are immortals, which means they're horses that don't die. Kind of a remarkable phenomenon. You've got beasts that don't die. And yet these immortal horses, when they see Patroclus dying and then dead, they begin to weep. And Homer tells us that Zeus, observing the weeping of the immortal horses, takes pity on them and in a sense, consoles them. Now Zeus says this: why did we give you to Lord Peleus? Peleus is, of course, Achilles' father. To a mortal, while you are deathless and ageless. So the horses were evidently a present from Zeus to Achilles' father, Peleus. Zeus goes on to say, was it so you could share men's pain? Nothing is more miserable than man. And that's the line I want to focus on here. What is Zeus getting at here when he says, nothing is more miserable than man? I think the way to think about this is to think of a sort of structure of the universe in which you have three levels of being. At the top, you have the gods, and they are immortal. And then in the middle, you have man. And at the bottom, you have the beasts. Now, man and the beasts have something in common, which is that they both die. The gods don't die, but animals, including man, of all types, do die. But there's a difference between the beasts and man, isn't there? Which is that man can anticipate death. So men, human beings, know that they're going to die, and animals don't. So Zeus appears to be saying here that this knowledge, this awareness of death, brings a particular misery to man, causes, in fact, I think it's the philosopher Heidegger who made this phrase famous, anxiety in man, even during life, precisely because you know that life is short, and life must at some point come to an end. So here you have this point beautifully dramatized because Homer has introduced these immortal horses. So the horses, in theory, are below man. They're at the bottom of the, not the food chain, but they're at the bottom of this kind of hierarchy. Man is in between the beasts and God, and yet these immortal horses have something in common with the gods, which is that they don't perish. And so here is Homer, and here is Zeus, sort of speaking to these horses and highlighting the distinctive features of man, namely A, mortality, and B, the awareness of mortality. And essentially what Zeus is saying is this is what makes human life so miserable. Now, from another point of view, a point of view, in a sense, perhaps unavailable to Zeus because Zeus is a god, it's precisely because human beings are mortal that many of the most important values of human existence come into play. Values like courage and sacrifice and so on. And I've made that point before. But here Zeus is making the opposite point, that a good deal of the anxiety, misery, and perhaps wretchedness of human existence comes from the simple fact that it is so short.
Subscribe to the Dinesh D'Souza podcast on Apple, Google, and Spotify, or watch on Rumble, YouTube, and SalemNow.com. Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.